What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. I'll be your host, Zach Clinton. As always, I hope and pray you guys had a blessed weekend or are having a great start to your week, but if you aren't, then I believe you're in the right place, and my prayer is that you would find some hope, encouragement, and motivation in and throughout today's conversation. That being said, can you guys believe we're already at the end of January? I mean, it is absolutely crazy how fast time continues to fly by. You guys, be sure to slow down and capture the moments of 2024, because I'm telling you, we're going to look up and in a blink, this year will be gone. Make sure that you're doing your best to make the most out of this time that God has entrusted to you. That being said, today, you guys, we're blessed to be joined by motivational speaker, author, Guinness World Record holder, and professional monster truck driver, Mr. Bryce Kenny. If you guys have ever been to a Monster Jam event, then you'll be familiar with today's guest, as he's the driver of the Great Clips Mohawk Warrior Monster Truck. And let me tell you, this guy is not only talented in the truck, but this dude is a gifted communicator who has a message for you in your heart today that I promise you, you do not want to miss. But before I share with you a little bit more about Bryce Kenny, I wanted to remind our listeners that one of our sponsors for the podcast is our Ignite Men's Ministry, where our goal and mission is to help strengthen this generation of men, young and old, to step up into this moment for such a time as this through deepening their relationship with our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. We love helping men align their everyday passions with God's eternal purpose for their lives. And as I talk about Ignite, I want to make all of you men out there listening today aware, or maybe it's all of you ladies out there who have a special man in your life aware, of our upcoming Ignite Men's Impact Weekend happening on March 8th and 9th at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, because you guys, it is shaping up to be one of, if not our best events to date. I'm telling you, the lineup is crazy. Joining us is world-renowned speaker, best-selling author, and College Football Hall of Famer Tim Tebow, renowned preacher and teacher from Life Church, Craig Rochelle, NFL legend and Hall of Fame safety from the Philadelphia Eagles and Denver Broncos, Mr. Brian Dawkins, lead pastor of Celebration Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and one of the best Bible teachers I've ever met, Pastor Tim Timberlake, renowned motivational speaker and author, Mr. Richard Yergin, arguably the greatest motivational speaker on the planet, the hip-hop preacher himself, Mr. Eric Thomas, and on Friday night, we'll be led in a special concert and night of worship by one of my favorite bands, Shane and Shane. With those plenary sessions, we'll also be having our famous workshops where you can come and learn from the experts in the world of hunting and fishing, all things outdoors, all things sports, becoming a man after God's own heart, learning how to invest more into your marriage, becoming more emotionally connected to your kids, and so, so many more. It's a weekend where the boys come together and grow in their relationship with God and their community with one another. And let me tell you, every single year, God shows up in a powerful way that always leaves me speechless, so I cannot wait to see what God's going to do again this year. The tickets are selling so fast, we're for sure going to have a sellout crowd. So let me tell you, as the host and president of the event and our men's ministry at Ignite, I personally would love to see you or the special man in your life there at Thomas Road Baptist Church, March 8th and 9th. I promise you, it will be a weekend that you will never forget. To find out more, sign up today, and to purchase your tickets, be sure to visit our website at ignitemen.net. Again, that's ignitemen.net. Now to get back to today's conversation, again, our guest for today is professional monster truck driver, Guinness World Record holder, motivational speaker and author, Mr. Bryce Kenny. And today we're going to be unpacking his book titled Geared for Life, Making the Shift into Your Full Potential. You see, growing up, Bryce's passion was in Top Fuel drag racing, traveling the country with his grandfather, competing in a race car capable of 300 miles per hour in just 4 seconds. Those miles traveled in the rig with his grandfather, Doc Sipple, would prove to be the mentorship that would equip Bryce with the passion and skill sets to fulfill his purpose, to use the platform of motorsports to change people's lives. Bryce believes that while there are no secret formulas to life, there are gears that we must learn to shift in and out of at the right time. These gears are our foundational beliefs that guide the actions we take towards living the life we've always dreamed of. Gears like being driven by purpose, failing faster, and becoming built for others all require a decision in the midst of life's toughest challenges to make that shift in order to get unstuck, find momentum, and start thriving again. My friends, my prayer is that through this conversation, you would be inspired, and that not only would you be more equipped to identify what has you stuck and is holding you back, but more importantly, that you guys would be equipped on how to find that new gear you never knew you had to shift into your fullest potential. With that being said, let's welcome our guest, speaker, author, and professional monster truck driver, Bryce Kenny. Bryce, thank you so much for joining me today, my friend.
I appreciate you having me on, Zach. I'm pumped about this. Big fan of the podcast itself and a big fan of yours, so it's going to be a good time.
Man, I am a big fan of yours as well. I know that we have been running in similar circles for quite some time. Yeah. We know a lot of the same people. Your cousin Alyssa was my sister Megan's college roommate at Liberty University. So, dude, this was just destined, right? This was in our fate to have a conversation about time. But man, you know, just as we get the opportunity of diving into your new book, it's a valuable resource, Geared for Life, Making the Shift into Your Full Potential. Before we dive into the book though today, I like hearing the backwater. I like understanding why people do what they do. You being a professional Monster Jam driver as the Great Clips Mohawk Warrior, you had a debut in 2016. Since then, you've won awards. You set a Guinness World Record for the fastest speed ever raced as a monster truck driver. Dude, why did you fall in love with monster trucks or just motorsports in general?
Well, my first question too is, am I the first guest on Built Different that has a Mohawk? Zach.
Absolutely.
Oh, right. Good.
You look
okay.
Sick, bro.
Look at that. We're already setting records here. That's perfect. It's funny though too, because I never grew up around monster trucks. That was not my passion. Right. I am a product of professional drag racing. So that was my whole goal. I was going to go 300 miles an hour in 4 seconds for a living, and nothing else mattered. Even to this day, you know, I've never been to a NASCAR event. When I first spoke to Monster Jam, that was one of their first questions was, well, have you ever seen a show? Have you been to an event before? And I'm like, well, no. So they said, well, we should probably do that, right? Let's see what you think about it. And it's funny because anyone that has been to a Monster Jam event will agree, you never forget the first time you see a monster truck fly through the air. Yeah. And so I remember sitting in that stadium, that arena, actually. It was right here in Greensboro, near where I live. And I remember that very first truck going airborne. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, okay, I'd like to try that. And so in that first conversation with Monster Jam, they said, well, we want to bring you up to Monster Jam University. And Zach, that's a real place, by the way. And they actually gave me a diploma afterwards, which I thought was a little much. I thought that was kind of a stretch. So much so that I left it in the hotel room because I thought it was ridiculous. And now I talk about it all the time. Right. I think maybe I just need to make a new one, like pretend like it was the one that they gave me. But I wish I hadn't gotten rid of it. And but that was 8 years ago. And here I've been 7 years. Full time with Monster Jam as the Great Clips Mohawk Warrior, and it's just been a pretty surreal experience getting to do this, not only just for a living, but to see the platform continue to grow over the years. It's just been a crash course in understanding how a platform can be built and what God can really do with it.
You know, man, God really has entrusted you with a unique and a pivotal platform. I think of, you know, I was sharing this before we even pressed play on this. I have two nephews. Their names are Easton and Everson Lipstein. One's 4, one's 3. Dude, they play with just monster trucks around that house like it's nobody's business. They still have, Gravedigger is still intact, but the Mohawk Warrior, your truck, man, has been played with so much it is shredded to pieces. And so I just wanted to give you that, you know, little applause because you got two of the biggest fans in my family.
Well, as long as, now, if you would have gotten on here and said that, you know, Easton, and did you say Everly? Is that what I heard you say?
Easton and Everson.
Easton and Everson. If you would have said that they were Gravedigger fans, then I just would have, like, cut off the conversation and so forth. But he is my arch nemesis if I had
that's
one.
Right. That's right.
But no, that's the only way to play with one of those die-cast trucks. And it's funny because even though, like I said, I never grew up playing with them or seeing them or really even had a passion for them when I was little, my 6-year-old son, Keegan, is as ate up as Easton and Everson are. It's I think now my life is full of die-cast Monster Jam trucks, and I think he's on to like number 65 or 70. I'm not sure. And more to come for Christmas, I'm sure.
Man, so And knowing that maybe you never foresaw driving and competing in the Monster Jam as a part of your life, but now that you've been in there, like you said, for 7 years, what are some of the top moments, experiences, and memories? But also, what is so unique about the platform that God has given you and just knowing how much fans like those kids look up to you?
Well, I'll start off with a non-spiritual moment, and then we'll go to my favorite spiritual moment. Actually, oh gosh, I don't know if I can do only one spirit. I've got two spiritual moments, so I'll try not to go off on too many rabbit trails either. But the first time I landed a backflip, right? The first time I ever successfully completed, because the first time I ever did a backflip, I crashed. So that's why I say that very, very strategically. The first time I actually landed one, and I saw the crowd go crazy and start yelling, and just that moment to know that I just backflipped a 12,000 pound machine with 1,500 horsepower, and it actually worked. Wow. And I'm still alive. That's all great. And so I think that moment just with the fans and celebrating that win was really cool. And then another, I would say my top favorite spiritual moment was when, you know, I used to have my grandfather. He was my mentor. He was the guy, man. He was the one that really allowed me to build this dream in myself around being a professional race car driver. And it was going to be in professional drag racing, those long, skinny cars that go 300 miles an hour, called a Top Fuel dragster. That's what I grew up around. And my grandfather was the team owner, and he was really my mentor and my guy, my best friend. And so, but one of the things he told me, he said, Bryce, he always spoke things over me. He said, you know, Bryce, people used to say to me that I entertain kings. He's talking about that verse off of Proverbs. He said, you know, you'll entertain kings. And he kind of started speaking that over me. He said, people have always said that to me, and I saw that to be true with him. Like, he just always got in those inner circles. You know, he knew the politicians. He knew these bigwigs and celebrities, and people wanted to know him. And here I got into Monster Jam, and it seemed like that affirmation that he always spoke over me started coming true. And the people I've gotten to meet and the celebrities I've gotten to work with and stuff like that, I just always go back to it like, well, Grandpa spoke that good stuff over me years ago. Mm-hmm. But something happened, though. I was up in Minneapolis, and my grandfather had just passed away about a year or two previous to this. And I was just praying through this, you know, this experience. And I was just in gratitude. And I was like, you know, God, thank you for this opportunity. I was in the Viking Stadium. And if anyone knows it, there's all these purple seats all over this beautiful, nice new stadium. And I look up, and there were two seats on each end of a metal, you know, barrier. And it was one of those moments where I confidently can say I heard God's voice, and he said, we're here, go have fun. And like, that moment was so different for me than what I had experienced even in professional drag racing, because I had everything I had done in drag racing. I started a ministry with it. I wanted to evangelize the motorsports industry through it. I got Josh McDowell endorsed my ministry. Like, it was all, everything was right. And yet I failed miserably. And I was working so hard at doing kingdom things that I had put my actual relationship with God and with Jesus almost, I hate to say on a back burner, but I was kind of like, God, surely you don't care enough to like that you want me to stop and pray. What if I had could only do one thing today, pray or save a soul out of hell, what would you rather me do today? And that's not an easy question. And I'm not here to say one is more important than the other, but it almost to paint that picture that the relationship with Jesus was such an afterthought. And so Monster Jam for me, because I failed so miserably at that drag racing dream and wanting to evangelize, have this ministry, everything fell on his face, and I did too, that when Monster Jam kind of came back in my life, it was almost like the resurrection of that dream. But for the first 5 or 6 years, God kept saying to me, like, wait, Bryce, wait. And I'm like, I'm not doing enough with this platform. God, surely, I don't want to waste this. You know, I'm not ashamed. I'll go out. And he kept saying, wait, wait, wait. And it was in that moment I finally realized what he was asking me to wait for, which is he is the one that put these passions inside of my heart, the one that gave me the ability and the skill sets to go and do this. And I'm still his creation. And he still loves to watch me do the things that he's given me skill sets to go and do. And my number one job now in Monster Jam is to entertain angels. I want to go out there and entertain the king. So, and that's what I was almost trying to get up to, and almost went off on too far of a rabbit trail on it. But that's what my grandfather used to say, that you'll entertain kings. And it's like in that moment when I heard God say, "We're here, Bryce, go have fun." It was like, yes, I entertain kings, but I meant to entertain the king. Amen. And I love going out there and having those moments. I still do. So to you know, that really brought that audience of one in front and center for me. So I don't know. Is God entertained by me backflipping Monster Jam trucks and being a professional crash test dummy for a living? Apparently, Zach. I wouldn't have guessed it, but here we are.
I love that, man. And it reminds me, you know, that we don't, like you said, audience of one. We don't compete. We don't do what we do for the applause of others, but rather for the applause of nail-scarred hands, like you said. And, you know, it's funny. What you just shared kind of brings to light. I just had a mentor of mine. I was just in, it was called the Now Summit. This guy's name, who's a mentor, is Dr. Jay Strack. He's at a student leadership university in Orlando, Florida. Mm. And he pulled me aside. He shared this with me before, but he kind of shared this with a whole group setting just a couple of days ago. He said, "Man, I'm terrified that you guys will commit the sin of the desert." And we were looking at him like, "What is the sin of the desert?" Right? And he goes, You guys don't know what that means, do you?" And we all shook our heads like, "No, sir." And he said, "The sin of the desert is when you know where the water is and you don't share it." And what you just said, like you said, with the platform that God has given you, right? We know where the water is. We know where the living water is, the way, the truth, and the life. We know where our hope is found, right? So it would be a detriment to everybody we have the opportunity of entertaining, of coming alongside of stewarding, of speaking to, if we don't share the good news of those things. I'm blessed to know that you are doing that with the platform that God has entrusted to you, my friend. That being said, you know, I want to shift gears here for a second. And go back to the book, right, Geared for Life. I'm interested, before we kind of break it down and unpack all of it, when was this kind of message put on your heart? And also, what is the message of hope that you want all of your readers to walk away with on the completion of these pages?
It's funny, too, because I wouldn't have thought ever. I had no dreams, even as a kid either, to write a book. I just didn't think that would be part of what I would do. Yeah. And I was struck with two things. One, if I had my grandfather still alive, and I begged him to the last couple of years of his life to write a book, because he had so much wisdom and so much life and experiences that I held on to. And so I kept begging him to write a book. He never did. Mm. And I would tell him point blank to his face, because I had that kind of relationship. And I said this in a respectful way. I'd say, "Look, if you die and you don't have any of this on paper, like this wisdom and the stuff that I've not had a chance to ask you is going to die with you." And so that really struck me, going, man, I wish my grandfather had have written a book, because it would still benefit me today. And then the second, I guess, side of that coin is, not that I feel like I have wisdom to share, but I realized a long time ago that, man, I don't think that, you know, there's a secret to figuring out life. I just don't. Right. You know, the only secret we know is Jesus, and he shouldn't That's be a right. secret. So I'll go back to that. I'll stand on that. I don't think there's a secret to life, but I do believe that there are gears. And if I'm an expert at anything, I am an expert at going from one gear to the next. If I'm stuck in first gear, to use a car analogy, and that's what the theme of the book is really all around, some people live their whole lives stuck in first gear. And they wonder why at 7,500 RPM, and they're trying to go 80 miles an hour like it's on a highway, but yet they're in first gear. It's like, man, you can't go on the highway on that on-ramp or the motor's going to blow up trying to get up to 80 miles an hour. The car wasn't built for that. First gear wasn't built for high speeds. And so for me personally, I have seen that there are foundational beliefs. Those are what my gears are. And that's why I share in the book my seven gears, my seven foundational beliefs that I go through. And each one of those seven gears are, whenever I'm stuck or it feels like that thing is just exhausted, I go in simply to a different gear, or I go to find my next one. And so I can leverage one situation, one opportunity into the next. So if I'm in first gear and I try to shift straight to fifth, it also isn't designed to go that way, right? So understanding what gears we have available and understanding when to shift into the right gear at the right time, that's how you keep moving. Because the goal, in my opinion, in life is not more activity. It's not just doing the right things. It's momentum.
That's exactly
right. And if you and I talk about this, we see this in ministry. We see this as professionals. We see this in building a podcast. You know, right. I mean, right. Everything that we do in life. As a dad, I've got momentum sometimes as a father, right? And then there's sometimes that I don't have momentum and I got to get back and work at it. The only purpose to working more is to build momentum. It's not just this for the sake of working harder. And so when we understand what we're trying to build, it's easier. And just like when I set that speed record in a Monster Jam truck for the fastest speed ever, we were the first ones to hit triple digits. And we only went 100 miles an hour, which doesn't sound like real
that's
fast.
That's awesome, though.
Well, when you're in a truck that weighs 12,000 pounds and was vibrating because it's not meant for high speeds like that, and it felt like I was in a paint shaker at Lowe's, then, yeah, because that's what I used to say. Well, no one's ever gone 100 miles an hour in a monster truck in the world. And I said, well, no one's ever crashed one at 100 miles an hour either. That's, so that's hopefully right. The truck won't vibrate itself apart. But as I was going through that, that's the whole application of that was a ton of momentum. Think about the inertia and the mass going down a drag strip. Weighing 12,000 pounds, going 100 miles an hour, it wasn't designed for that, but it took a lot of gears and a lot of process to build up that momentum. And guess what? It took a long distance after the finish line to get all of that slowed down. So the bigger the momentum, the longer you can sustain it, the more things can start to happen. And if I had a secret, right, yeah. Which is still not a secret because I don't believe that there are, but if I had an advantage, it's because I know that I'm trying to build that momentum because I see the hand of God work in that moment. It's like faith asks for me to believe and then act on that belief. And that's why momentum gets built as a Christian, is because I believed that God was going to do it. I got off my butt and actually acted on those things. And I took risks and I was creative enough to go try to find solutions. And then because of those things, the momentum that can only be found in Jesus Christ and what he can do, and the Holy Spirit and the dots that he has been able to connect along the way, that has been my favorite part of this whole story. Because I knew, yes, it took belief and it took action, because that is what faith is. But to watch the momentum that can only be built by the Holy Spirit and those results come to me and those dots connect, I can't wait to wake up tomorrow to act on something else out of a belief that the Heavenly Father has good things in store for me, because I'm addicted to seeing the momentum. And I love watching the shifts happen. And I also know that momentum never lasts forever. Because the Holy Spirit changes what he's doing in our lives from time to time, and he changes the focus on our mind. So I want to enjoy those moments. I want to be a part of building the wave and then have the grace to know that I'm the one, for whatever reason, because of the grace of Jesus, I'm the one that gets to ride that wave into the shoreline. That's crazy to me.
That's Bryce. Now you're preaching, brother. I love that. Come on, dude. I love this idea, like you said, of momentum. Because, you know, when we're creating momentum up front, it can be hard. It can be challenging. It takes intentionality. It takes an initiative. There's a lot of friction, right? But it's like when you start moving things in the right direction and you start gathering momentum, the mindset shifts from, can we get this thing to move anywhere, to holy cow, how are we going to get this thing to stop?
You know what I mean?
So yeah. I love that idea of momentum. I love the car analogy throughout the book. I love how you talk about shifting into these different gears. But I also love how you mention up front this idea of stalling, right? There's a lot of people, Bryce, I believe, you know, Mike Tyson puts it this way. Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth, right? Life can be so hard. It can be challenging. There can be a lot of pain and difficulty and adversity that we all face. And, you know, I see it often as a counselor, people sitting across from me who feel discouraged and disappointed, maybe deflated, because life has delivered a knockout blow and sent them to the canvas of the ring. And so there are moments where people do feel stalled. I'm interested for you, what are some of the moments in your life when maybe you felt stalled out, you needed to help or get some help from somebody to shift into gear? But also, what do you think are some of the most common challenges we face on a daily basis, weekly basis, that kind of stall us out as well?
Well, it's funny because my mind goes immediately into the story I start the book off with, which is when I got fired. And I realized looking back that I was chasing two things, and I hate these targets for life. And I don't think we're called to either two of these, by the way, as Christians. But I was chasing safety and happiness.
Yep.
And that's what our culture today tells us is most important. That's right. What the world or the celebrities, oh, well, does it make you happy? Yeah, okay, then you should do that. No, you should not. Happiness is a terrible target. Safety is a terrible target. Like, my life has gotten much harder after becoming a Christian, right? There's nothing safe about what I'm doing, not just because I'm a professional crash test dummy, but also, you know, just as a Christian, like, and being persecuted. And by the way, the persecution, we all know it's going to get worse.
Yep.
This is the least persecuted we will ever be.
That's right.
Is right now.
That's right.
That's a sobering thought. But to your point, I've been in that situation where, you know, my head hits the pillow and I'm saying to myself, is this really all there is? Mm. And I had that moment right after I got fired, realizing what I had chased. I chased after safety, you know, that 401k. I chased after happiness. You know, it wasn't a very demanding job, and it was kind of comfortable. It was flexible. I was pretty happy then. It was a soccer organization job. So I wore shorts and a soccer jersey to work every day. Right. And it was still an office job. Like, I was pretty happy back then, so to speak. At least I thought I was chasing what happiness looked like. But man, the number of nights I laid in bed. And I remember, actually, it happened after one specific evening, because I had just got done watching like 2.5 hours straight on cable, so like with commercials and everything, back when we used to do that, of The Big Bang Theory. And I remember thinking after that, like, I'm so empty. It's not something that's like feeding my spirit. It was just something to mindlessly unplug and watch for 2.5 hours went by. And yet I'm looking at this, I'm asking God to work in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm upset and I'm ready to do something. And surely this isn't all that God has purposed me to do in life. And yet I'm binge watching for 3 hours a show that isn't doing anything but just distracting me from what's going on. And that's what stalled really looks like. You know, there's so many of us that we know that we're built for more. And I can't believe the number of people I meet, and they're like, Bryce, I'm like, well, what are you passionate about? And they can't answer that question.
Right.
And my mind always goes back to, okay, and this is what I've determined here. I'm only 35, so you know, I'm meeting a lot more people like that, and I'm realizing that they may not be passionate about anything now, but at some point they were passionate about something. It didn't work out the way they thought it would work out, and they gave up, and they quit. And it is their duty as a Christian, if they believe in Jesus and that they're a kid of a king and that they were made for a purpose, they've got to go back to that passion and pick up that sword back up and get back in there. And so I really believe that Geared for Life, I believe my book will help them do that. I believe that it'll help them go from feeling stalled out, asking that question, like, is this really it? And helping them to get into first gear, get moving again, to kind of revitalize their purpose as well, because I don't believe that our purpose is as hard to figure out as we've made it. And it's not just, what's my purpose? It's to evangelize the world. Like, okay, I get that, you know, to go and make disciples among all nations. Yes. But I also think Zach Clinton was made with skill sets and specific things that his creator gave him that's going to make him more effective in doing that. And I think that they're very closely tied to our passions. And so that's what being stalled out looks like, and being able to shift and back into to gear and get moving towards the thing that you really believe is tied closely to your purpose. That's what we've got to get better at. And the church has got to get better at teaching people how to do just that, helping people find their purpose, reigniting their passions and going out there and doing something so special in this world. Because I believe that every one of us are meant to live at a level that the world is not familiar with, and to go out there and give God all the glory in doing that through our skill sets. And if we are able to do that and honor God through the process, I can't imagine a more worthwhile goal and a more worthwhile realization of what He's got us doing today.
That's so good, man, because what you're talking about is how we can steward a life of significance rather than just simply wandersly kind of seeking a life of success. You know what I mean? Like, some of those things are so fleeting, they don't really matter at the end of the day. And I also, what I'm hearing is, you know, there's a difference between your assignment and your calling. God calls us to all of these different things. Scripture even says in Romans that the callings that God has placed on our lives, they're irrevocable. We may try to get in our own way. We may be afraid of pursuing the unknown, challenging heights, different things like that. But man, He has a specific calling, a plan, and a purpose for each and every one of us. We may have different assignments, right? I may be a counselor leading a ministry. You may be leading your ministry through being able to drive a monster truck in the platform that God has entrusted you with. Different assignments, but the same calling and the same mission and the same vision ahead of
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Moving in the same direction.
I heard a guy say, just like 1 degree separate from what, but someone out there needs to hear this. The circumstances of your life also do not change the calling of your life.
Come on.
Just because they got kicked in the teeth, right? Just like what you said, the Tyson quote, everyone's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Yeah, just because you got hit in the mouth doesn't change the calling. You know, I love that, you know, and we all have different assignments. And it goes back to that entertaining the king aspect. You could be an accountant.
That's right.
And God has given you a passion for accounting and a passion for helping people through numbers and all that stuff. He's entertained and he's proud of you for that.
Yeah.
We don't believe this as Christians. We don't believe that the God of the universe, and some of it, I think, is deeply rooted in reverence, which is great.
Yeah.
However, we don't realize that we don't believe in our hearts that God is actually interested in the day-to-day grind that he has us in right now.
Right.
We don't believe that. And it's wrong because the relationship will never be right if we don't believe that God has an eternal interest in the things that we do on a daily basis. And then that leads to so much guilt that we as Christians have because we're like, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing this. And I go back to what God had me do. The Holy Spirit slowed me down because I remember praying. Like I said, I was up in the truck and I was like, I'm not doing enough, God. I feel like I'm wasting this opportunity. Yeah. And the very next time I take a knee and I pray before I climb up in the truck.
Yeah.
And in that moment, he said, Bryce, I'm going to raise you up in my time, not yours.
Mm.
And I hung on to that for another 2 years. So I heard that and I was like, okay, God, so like in a month or two, right? No, another 2 years. It was not until Easter of this past season, 2023. Easter of 2023, and it was the first time I heard something different other than Bryce, just wait on me. And he said, pray, don't preach. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, here we go. And I haven't been preaching. I haven't been, you know, hitting people over. I have tons of conversations with the drivers and crew guys about God. And we go to the diners and stuff like that. And yeah. And I'm about the only one that they'll talk to with this stuff. And I love that. But it's the first time we've started doing prayer circles after wow. practice right there on the middle of the Monster Jam floor on Fridays before the event starts. And man, I've got people that want, and there's 10 or 12 of us, you know, there's, you know, probably 45, 50 people on tour. So it's not like we've got 150 people and we're, you know, able to baptize people in the Holy Spirit yet or anything like that. But I will say we've got our first baptism coming up this season.
Come on, dude.
They want to get baptized.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this and I'm watching God and what's happening. Momentum is being built.
Yeah.
Not because Bryce Kenny is special, not because I'm smart, not because of anything. It's because I've believed and I've acted every step of the way. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's bringing that momentum to fruition. And I cannot wait to see what happens this season because I know the wave's been built. And like I said before, I'm just on the kayak or the surfboard. I'm going to ride it all the way to the shoreline here.
Dude, I love that. And all the Holy Spirit asks of us is just a willing, open, and obedient heart to say, yes, you know what, God, I'll wait.
Amen.
Like you were saying, you know, I'll be patient. I'll remain exactly where you have me right now. And shifting our prayers from, you know, God, yeah, what can I do more? To, you know what, God, let your will and not my will be done. Let it be done in your timing. I heard a quote recently that said, the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Right?
Amen.
So just being able to recognize, God, what is it that you want from me? What do you want to teach me in this season of life? And where do you want to take me? And potentially even ask, who do you want to connect me with? Bryce, as you kind of, I don't want you to give away all the secrets, all the gears and different things like that. I want our readers and our viewers to actually go pick up the book, buy a copy of the book, read it, because it is truly life-changing. But what are just a couple of ingredients that you think are necessary to help them reach their full potential?
That's a great way to phrase it. I think that I think my favorite gear that I talk about in the book is becoming built for others. And as simple as that sounds, right? It's a foundational belief of mine. I think everyone would agree with it, but I don't know that everyone really believes and understands how to shift into getting their eyes off themselves and like being built for other people in a situation. And here's a perfect example. I was at our Monster Jam World Finals this past July. And my truck just died on me twice. And here, I thought this was that moment of like God raising me up. I was convinced we were going to win a World Finals Championship. It was going to etch our name in the history books. I was convinced. And not only did we not do that, but the truck quit on me on both of our major competitions, and it was just like someone took a sledgehammer to my sternum.
Yeah.
And I, all of a sudden I was having heartbreak of my own. And I remember I was mad, you know, I'm still frustrated and I'm getting out and I'm, you know, I threw my gloves into the recovery cart, you know, and I slammed my neck restraint against the golf cart dashboard, you know, and I'm upset. I'm a guy, I'm still a man.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking that moment too. I'm going off the floor. I'm in front of 55,000 people in the Titans Stadium, people from all over the world. It's the biggest event of our sport, and the fans were cheering for me, which was absurd. Like, they should have been booing me off the floor. I was upset. They were upset, and I was just so mad for about 10 minutes. And I got back to the locker room, and it was in that moment that I said, "Okay, buddy. Like, yeah, it didn't go your way. This is not a purpose day in the sense of, you know, helping to increase my platform from a standpoint of winning and losing, you know, in a sport." Right? So that it's not your day for that, but suck it up. And I had to make that mental decision to become built for other people in that moment. And I said, "All right, I'm going to go up onto our starting block and I'm going to cheer for all of my other buddies, because even though it wasn't my day, it was the worst day of my career, someone was about to have their best day of theirs." And I said, "I've got to become built for others in this situation. I'm going to go up. I'm going to be the loudest cheerleader in this entire stadium for every single one of the other drivers." And sure enough, man, when Colt Stevens, my buddy, who's coming to our prayer circles, by the way, when he won, he was standing right there, and it was finally announced after the last truck ran, and it was his first ever World Finals Championship. I was the first guy to give him the biggest bear hug in the world. And did I want to be there? No. Like, I was so upset that what had gone on, that if I hadn't have made that mental decision to shift and say, "Well, get my eyes off myself and go be there for other people," then I would have failed that day completely. Well, I cannot tell you what that moment and story and choosing to find that gear at the right time has created. It's come up in my keynotes I've given all through October in the corporate world and in churches in different places. And it's not to pat myself on the back. It's to help us all understand, like, look, this life, and we all go through stuff. And if one gear is not working, we got to find a different one. And I think the most important one to find is being built for other people. That makes me a better father. It makes me a better professional. It makes me a better Christian. Right. Yeah. And so I think that if everybody looks out and they go and they read through the seven, my hope is that my guess is they'll steal a few of my gears, Zach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I also think that they will uncover and realize a few of the foundational beliefs of their own that maybe they just haven't realized were that monumentally critical for them and that foundational. And I think that they'll be able to utilize that just like a gear right now, today, go back to that foundational belief and then watch things slowly start to change over the next 7 to 10 days, simply because they're more cognizant of making that decision to shift into the right gear at the right time.
That's so good, man. Being able to celebrate the successes of another, one of the hardest, but one of the most joyous experiences we could possibly have. It reminds me of a quote, Pastor Mark Batterson, what he always has said, and he said on the podcast here before, he said, "You can assess the spiritual maturity of an individual by whether or not they can find or see the miraculous in the midst of the monotonous." So when they're going through the tough times, when they're going through the mundane, the everyday ordinary, for them to be able to see the miracles, to choose joy, to choose gratitude, to choose contentment like you did that day, you know what? I'm going to go celebrate the successes of another. This is a sucky day for me. This is a great day for somebody else, and I'm going to make sure I prioritize that. You shifted your perspective, and those are the things that matter most. That's what I always love, is that I think perspective, as you mentioned in the book, in terms of the windshield, that can be one of the most significant ingredients to help us live a more joy-filled, Christ-centered, full potential type of life. Bryce, as we close up, how I always love to end just our conversations is by affording our guests the opportunity just to share a pressing word that God has placed on their life for such a time as this. So to the person out there today who I really want you to speak into, Bryce, is the person who maybe does feel discouraged or deflated. Maybe they just took that blow in the sternum that you're talking about. Maybe they feel like they've stalled out. What's the pressing word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you want to leave that person with today?
Ooh, I love that. Actually, I'm going to piggyback off of a description for the Built Different podcast, which is you can only know who you are when you understand whose you are. And I would love for everybody out there that's listening to have a fresh wind, a fresh breath again, to understand that your identity is rooted in the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, like the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who can come and do, he has unlimited power to do all the things that we want to see happen, and he's going to come back for his bride one day. And that is exactly who you are and whose you are. And in that identity, he has given you things and put seeds of greatness in your heart. He's put passions in your chest and in your heart. And maybe at one point he asked you to give those things up for him. Just like he's done with so many people in scripture, where he said, give that passion away, put that back on the altar. If it's your son who you love more than me, once you put him on the altar, then I'll send the ram, right? Then I'll send the ram, the provision that turns that corner, right? All of a sudden, like when we do that and we put those passions, maybe you did that 5 years ago, but you forgot to pick them back up. Maybe in that identity process of trying to find Jesus again through what you're doing, ask him again, hey, is it time for me to bring this passion back up that you gave me, that I sacrificed for you years ago? I would encourage you to do that, because I believe that there's a time, there's a birth of any God-given dream. There is a birth to that dream. There is a death to that dream. But if you're a Christian and it's truly God-given, you're seeking after the face of God, there is a resurrection of that dream to where it becomes bigger and greater than you ever thought or dreamed it to be. And that's exactly what Ephesians 3:20 is all talking about, by the way. But go back and ask, hey, God, is it time? Are you wanting to resurrect that dream that I gave up years ago? And if it is, I'm willing and able. And maybe the answer to that is still no. But if it's yes, everything in your life is about to change. You're about to find another gear you never knew you had, and I'll be right there at the finish line cheering you on the whole way.
I love that, man. There is a birth of our dreams. There may be times where there is a death of our dreams, but we serve a God who also loves to resurrect our dreams. And I love that idea about identity. We'll never truly find out who we are until we first recognize whose we are. Bryce Kenny, man, thank you just so much for the words of wisdom, the wealth of knowledge, the platform that God has entrusted you with. You truly are pointing people to the foot of the cross, and I cannot thank you enough for doing that. I can't thank you enough for your time, and just again, the encouragement that you've instilled within my life today. I appreciate you, my friend.
I appreciate you. I'm glad this finally worked out as well, and more monstrously great things for the two of us in the future, I know. But thanks for all you do. I love the podcast, and can't wait to continue as both a fan, and maybe I'll be back on in the future. Who knows?
I would love that, Bryce. Hey, before we go, where can our listeners and viewers find out more about you, but also where can they come and watch you compete in the Monster Jam?
Oh, good question on the Monster Jam front. I'm on one of six different tours, and I do all the big stadium tour or stops, I guess. So you can go on my Instagram and find my schedule. My Instagram is at Warrior Bryce, and I'm at Warrior Bryce on Facebook, and I think TikTok as well. So go on there and engage with me there. I love that stuff. And then you can find a copy of the book anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Audible, if you like the audio version. If I haven't annoyed you with my voice after a podcast, then go pick up the Audible version. But, you know, Barnes & Noble and all that fun stuff as well. If I'm coming anywhere close to you guys, I think I'm predominantly on the East Coast. Denver is the furthest west I'm going to be in the Broncos Stadium in 2024. If I'm anywhere close, let me know, and let me know that you found out about me here on the Built Different podcast. And you never know, I might be looking for you come through the pit party line.
Be sure to go and check out Bryce, all the cool things that he's doing at Monster Jam, but also be sure to pick up a copy of his book, Geared for Life, Making the Shift into Your Full Potential. Bryce Kenny, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thanks, Zach.
Well, my friends, as we close, I just want to give my brother Bryce and his book one more plug, because I'm telling you, I really think this book, Geared for Life, can be an incredible resource to help you change your mindset and turn your life around. I love what it reads on the back of the book. The pressure to succeed can be overwhelming, yet sometimes it paralyzes us into settling for less. Bryce Kenny is here to help you rise up to the challenge and make the impact you've always wanted. He presents specific principles that he's developed in his own life that will help you find direction and shape your future. Whether you're entering the job market or going into a new business venture, you need the courage to give it your all. Through personal stories, lessons, and proven results, Geared for Life will help teach you how to gain new perspectives and strategies to get through difficult situations, develop foundational beliefs that will result in more productive actions toward your goals, learn skills to overcome fear and gain confidence in your abilities, identify your life's purpose, and develop the mindset of a winner and defeat any challenge. A well-written guide for anyone seeking to reject a life of monotony and overcome the fear of failure, Geared for Life is a motivating and energetic guide that will equip you to fight for a life of purpose and accomplish your wildest dreams. You are a warrior, and you have what it takes to be great. You guys, to purchase this book, be sure to go and click on the link found in our show notes today, or simply go to BryceKenny.com. My friends, as always, thank you guys so much for joining us. We love being a part of your life, and we hope to see you right back here next time on the Built Different podcast.
Are you a mental health professional, teacher, pastor, or someone working in the life of children, youth, and young adults? If so, mark your calendar for the AACC Next Gen Conference on Youth Mental Health, happening April 11th through the 13th in Atlanta, Georgia. The Next Gen Conference is dedicated to equipping Christian counselors, education professionals, and ministry leaders with the tools and insights needed to address the unique mental health challenges facing today's youth. Join us as we gather experts, thought leaders, and practitioners in the field, like Dr. Shinway Williams, Dr. Chap Clark, Dr. Kathy Cook, Dr. George Barna, Dr. Jay Strack, and more, to explore innovative strategies rooted in faith and psychology. This conference is packed with engaging workshops, enlightening keynote sessions, and meaningful network opportunities. You'll gain a deeper understanding of how to provide compassionate and effective counseling to young individuals navigating the complexities of mental health. Together, we can make a lasting impact on the lives of the next generation. Register today and be prepared to make a difference. To learn more, head to nextgenconference.net to secure your spot. That's nextgenconference.net. We hope to see you in Atlanta, Georgia.